Open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 7. Yes. Yes, ma'am, you may. Sure. Of course.
Well, he jumped into that lake. It was 49 degrees, and he wanted to jump in there and say when he came home, he jumped into the monster lake. I just wanted to, it's on my heart, and I just wanted to share that because I thought it was exciting.
I would do that. That's wonderful. And he lived to tell about it.
Yeah.
Loch Ness Monster. Matthew chapter 7, you'll find that nestled in your Bible right between chapter 6 and 8. And we're going to start in the 13th verse. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus teaches the way to heaven. His words, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Now, we've heard those verses time and time again. Matter of fact, pretty near everybody in here, I imagine, can recite them. But we need to look at them yet again because of some things that are going on. So with that thought in mind, join with me in prayer as we set our hearts. Father, set us aside from what's out there. Don't pay attention to the clock or anything. We're here now. We need to be in labor with the Holy Spirit right now. The words that I preach today do not belong to me, and I am blessed to be able to share them. Let them be full upon my brothers and sisters here today. Let them be returned back fuller. Let them be used to strengthen, guide, and be a blessing in the week and days to come. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. And all of his children said, amen. Now I'm going to let you in on a little secret. You may not know this about me. I've been preaching here for 8 years. I am super lazy. I am serious. You can sit there and shake your heads. No, Paul, we see you go, go, go. No, you don't understand. There is a connection I have with a piece of furniture called the Lazy Boy Recliner. Me and that old lazy boy that is broken so bad, when I sit down in that, that's it. If you can keep me out of my old lazy boy, I keep chugging along. But I am lazy, and I know it. I would rather sit in that thing and watch tractor videos or read or look at tractor videos or anything like that than do anything else in this world. I am very lazy. I am always looking for a way to get out of doing something or figure out how to find a shortcut. And I'm an idiot. Then you can say, what? My wife is over there going, yes, he is. Let me tell you about me and backups and traffic. I know every single road from the Pennsylvania line to the water at the other end of Baltimore. I know them all because I have traveled all over them for various reasons. Be it work, looking for fun roads to ride on a motorcycle, or for the most important reason, I'm convinced that somewhere in the bushes around me still waits that super rare tractor for me to find. I know it's there. Don't laugh at me like that. I put on my Indiana Jones hat and my bullwhip, and I go into the jungle. So when I get into traffic, I think I'm pretty smart. And traffic's backed up, and sometimes there's somebody in the truck with me, and sometimes there ain't. And if you're in the truck with me and we hit a backup in traffic, I will turn to you inevitably, and I'll go, I ain't sitting in this. Watch this. I know a shortcut. Here's the problem. A lot of people know the same shortcut I did. And I keep turning to whoever's in the truck with me or whatever and going, no problem. I'll just take this next road. Well, they know that one too. And pretty soon, I'm going from here to here, right? And I went from here to here like this. Whoops, that's the wrong way. Boop, back on the road. And that tractor trailer I was sitting on just went by. There are no shortcuts. Not really. I know a lot of people might disagree with me on that, but there really aren't. If you're lazy, like me, you look for them. I was accused of so many times in my school education that I worked harder trying to not work than I would have actually doing the work. And there's a fair amount of truth in that, especially math class. I hated math class. I knew how to add and subtract, multiply and divide. That was it. The first time I went to an algebra class, well, let's just say that ended poorly for me. As many of you know, I've been thrust into a project at work, and maybe you don't know, so I'll get you keyed up. If you ever call me and I sound like I'm out of this world, it's because this past week I worked night shift from 7 p.m. to 5 a.m. Next week, coming up this week, I'm on day shift. And then the next week, I'm back on night shift. And day, and night, and day, and night, and day, and night. And this will go on to the end of October, middle of November. And I have to work every weekend. I'm working tonight. I go in tonight at 7 o'clock and work until 5 o'clock in the morning. And still I'm on day shift. And even though I'm on night shift, because I have work that had to be done during the day, about 10 o'clock, 9:30 in the morning, I'm on email, I'm on phone, I'm working on my day work. So I come home at, I don't know, 6 o'clock in the morning, sleep till 9:30, and then I'm up and going. And it's making me a little strange, stranger than I normally am. But in working with this project, I'm beginning to see that there are people out there stranger than me. We're putting in these gas pipes. We're putting in 12 miles of 12-inch steel gas main. That's a pipe about that big around. It's steel. Has anybody in this room ever tried to bend steel? Right. Without the use of a truck or a hammer or gas or anything like that, just grabbed it in your hands and tried to bend it. Now I can because secretly I have an S on my chest. So when we put this pipe in, they don't do things the way I think they should. They don't line it up. They don't sit there and plan for the next moment. So you have to put a piece of pipe in, your pipe stops here, and you're going to here, right? Here's the problem. This pipe is pointed that way. You're going over here. 12-inch steel pipe. Or it's pointed this way, or that way. And I always ask the question, didn't you figure that out the night before when we were putting the pipe in? Well, yeah, kind of. And they have to use a machine to bend the pipe. Now, it's a fascinating machine. It's a machine about so big, and they put the pipe in there, and it heats the pipe up, and it puts pressure on it, and it bends, and it makes all these bends. But the question is, why didn't you just do it right the first time, line it up, drop the pipe in, weld it, and get on with the next thing? And I got told, well, we were trying to figure out a shortcut. This has happened several times. Me being me, I have to scratch my head. And I'm standing there going, why do you keep taking these shortcuts? And then I suddenly heard, oh yeah, okay, I got you. Because Paul Letterman, you are the king of shortcuts. There was a picture I've seen. I'm going to get this poster and put it up somewhere. It is a tractor trailer, and it's a beautiful saying. On the side of it, it says, on the journey to excellence, There are no shortcuts. That's where I took "there are no shortcuts" from. This tractor trailer. Took the whole side of the tractor trailer. On, you ready with me? Listen. On the journey to excellence, there are no shortcuts. Beautiful tractor trailer. And it's stuck under a bridge that it didn't fit in. That's my life. And guess what? That's the life of every Christian. We accepted Jesus Christ. There ain't a single person in this room that does not believe. And if you don't, you better be careful, because I'm looking for you. There ain't a single person in this room that does not believe the following. God created everything. God created us. God sent His only begotten Son, who? Jesus Christ, to do what? Die for me, for you, on that tree, on that cross. He died, living, breathing, human being. Went to hell. He fought off hell. Died. 3 days later, He did what? He walked out of that tomb and changed the world forever 2,000 years ago. He took everything that was old and broke it down. He gave us the most direct path. Pow! There's a teacher I had in one of my Bible classes. He used the words over and over again, and it kind of stuck with me. Laser focus. Laser focus. Belief in Jesus Christ puts you laser focused to heaven. Can you say amen? Do you believe me? Is that how it goes?
Yeah.
Right, that's it. That's the only way, right? Why don't we listen? We don't. Jesus knows us. In the great movie, I love this movie, and we've watched it. Place? Here? Anyhow, it's called Facing the Giants, the football movie. We'll show it again, I'm sure. There's a great scene in that movie, and I'm going to reenact it because it is my truest favorite scene in that movie. The young boy that they've gotten on the team is a little skinny whelp, about so tall. And his name is David. Get it? The Giants. David, Giants, stay with me. I'll educate you. I'll teach you all some culture. And after I get done teaching you this, I'll teach you why using lard to fry everything in is perfect. David is a place kicker. He played soccer, but there's no soccer program, so he's a place kicker in this movie. And his job, his only job, is to put that ball through the uprights. Kick a goal. He has no confidence in himself. And so he backs up all the time, and he kicks the ball, and the ball flops along the ground, or it might go backwards over his head. I don't know. But the coach, the special teams coach, comes up to him and says, "David, you're not kicking that ball." He said, "I know, coach. I know. I've tried." And the coach says, "No, I don't believe you are." He says, "I don't think you're really trying." He says, "But coach, I am trying." He says, "I'm trying to do it." He says, "No, David, you're not." Now, what does the Bible say about this? All you have to do is get that ball between those uprights. Now, it don't matter if it goes wide left or wide right when it goes through the uprights. It don't matter if it looks like a dying duck as it goes through the uprights. But that's your only job. And if you're kicking the ball here and here, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, "Narrow is the gate that leads to life, and wide is the path to destruction." And every time you approach that ball with an attitude of, you're never going to get that ball through there. Now you got to ask yourself, David, do you want to take the wide path or the narrow path? And my thing to you is, if you want that ball to go through the uprights, you're going to have to stop the shortcuts and take the narrow path. Now kick the ball! Love that movie. Love that movie. How many people in this room love to think that they have the corner market on trying to figure out a shortcut around doing something? Put your hands up. Thank you, Leroy. All of you. How many times does that shortcut work? Right, I don't see a whole lot of hands going up. The company keeps trying to do this, and it backfires on them quite a bit, and it got me to thinking how we as Christians think that there's an easier way to heaven. There's not. I'm sorry to tell you that. if you're older than me, if you have sat in a church since you took breath on this earth, and you're just now coming to the realization that Pastor Paul is the smartest, most intelligent man in the world, and the statement he just made is that there is only one way to heaven and there's no shortcuts, where have I been all my life? I'm sorry, but that's the truth. Sheer laziness has been responsible for more shortcuts. Now, I'll grant you, there have been some great inventions coming out of sheer laziness. Probably the greatest invention is the Lazy Boy recliner. Oh man, I love that thing. You sit down in it, it just kind of hugs you, right? You pull that handle, ka-ka-blap, the thing comes up, the seat goes back, and there ought to be like a thing up here above your head being sung by angels. Go take a nap now, Paul. Love that chair. Gonna have to get a new one because it's broken. We've been having discussions about that. But some of the inventions that have come from being lazy are the elevator. Anybody in this room want to climb to the top of a 50-story building on steps? Well, there's something wrong with you. Because all I want to do is go, boop. We was at the hospital one time, and I was having a little fun. We was riding the elevator. Me and the boys were in there. And the boys always want to push the button because that's what boys do. And they were standing there, and there was a bunch of people in there. And the boys got in. I said, push the J button. And the boys went. And my wife poked me, and she goes, Paul. I said, push number two. And I'm telling you the truth. The lady behind me goes, well, I'm glad you did that because I was looking for the J button. Elevators, escalators, the automobile. There are things that come from it, but we have to pay the price for taking a shortcut. Most of us are continually on the lookout, at least subconsciously, for easier ways to perform routine tasks. I want a root beer delivery machine in the house, or cream soda, it don't matter. I want something that I just push a button on the side of my lazy chair, and a can just pops up, an ice cold can of cream soda or root beer. I love cream soda. An example of this imagination is spurred by outright lethargy. It's contained in this old story of a mountaineer and his wife who were sitting by the fireplace one evening a long time ago, just letting the time go away. And after a long silence, his wife said, Jed, I think it's raining. Get up, go outside, look and tell me. The old mountaineer continued to gaze into the fire for a good second, sighed and said, oh, Ma, why don't we just call in the dog and see if he's wet? And Jesus is talking about that in these verses. There are no shortcuts to heaven. None. And we do well to remind ourselves that sometimes. I love listening to people talk about new religions or coming to me and saying, yeah, but Paul, God loves everybody. You're right, He does. That's the message of the Bible. God loves everybody. If you miss that in that book, then I need to start preaching differently. It's not about beating you down. It's not about showing you that you're weak. We know that. There are continual reminders in there that the only way we survive is through God's love. And to turn to Him when we fail, which is how often? All the time. All the time. When God sent Jesus down, He knew. There was no shortcut. He'd already destroyed the world once. It didn't work out. He knew. He said, I've got to send him down there. Angels, I'm sure, lined up. Don't. We'll go. No, you can't. Nobody will understand until he comes. I'm sure Jesus Christ in the garden. We know that he was asking for a different way. Father, he bent over a stone. See that image in your mind. Praying for you. You're not even born yet. If there is another way, take this cup from me. No. You have to go this way. You have to take the narrowest path. I'm sorry, my son. I love my children. I don't want them to be lost. 6 hours later, he hung on a cross and died. Jesus is talking right here. We've read these scriptures 100 times, and sometimes we get so complacent that when we hear them, we're like, oh, okay, Matthew 7, verse 13, blah, 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 blah. No. It's a pinprick. It should start something. It should remind you. Watch out for false prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. We had a way of getting in and out of the barnyard when I was home. When it was time to go and feed cows, we pulled a mix wagon in called Old Schuler Mix Wagon. I loved doing that job because you come in there and you had to turn this way. But when I first learned how to do it, my grandfather walked me by foot through there. He said, you come here, you turn this way, you turn that way, you come around here, you have to back into this lot, and then you can start unloading in the trough for the milk cows. I didn't listen. Why? Because I'm an idiot. And I know it. And I went in there saying, why do you got to do this, man? I'm not doing the hokey pokey through the middle of the barnyard with a tractor and wagon. I'm just going to make a big long loop. I made the big long loop and didn't turn and didn't back up. And there I sat. And here comes my grandfather, whom I loved. And he was not happy to see me at that moment. And he straightened that thing out. And he said these words to me. You understand now? Yes, sir. You do it the way I tell you. Yes, sir. Don't you try to do that again. No, sir. And I never did again. And to this day, you could probably put a blindfold on me and talk to me. And I could drive in and out of that barnyard. Because I even know where the dimples in the barnyard were. There are no shortcuts to truly on a straight path. Go back to scripture again. Verse 13, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. We see that, don't we? I love hearing people go, I'm a Christian. Great. Glad to meet you. I'm one too. Hey, let's talk about the Bible. Well, the Bible isn't 100% true. I'm sorry. What? Well, you know, you have to take the Bible in different points and you have to define it certain ways for different periods of time. It's not written in here. It's written in here that this is the Word of God and this is what we preach from. I love these churches today. We went to see a movie and they were advertising for the church in the movie theater. And they had lights flashing and smoke and lots of musical instruments up there and everybody, and they're all, and you know, and everything and things and lasers and stuff. And I thought, my goodness gracious, I'm going to try that one Sunday. All of that is nothing. All of that is a shortcut because people don't necessarily want to stay right here. You have to. Once again, I'm sorry. That's the rules. I didn't make them up. I just followed them. Narrow is the way. Read on a little further. Beware of false prophets. As a preacher, that's the one. A sheep covered wolf. You remember the old Warner Brothers cartoons about the sheep dog and the wolf? And that wolf, his only job was to steal a sheep. And Ralph, the sheepdog, Ralph, hair hanging down over his eyes like that, his only job was to beat that wolf into submission every time he tried to get a sheep. And every time, every cartoon, I always sat there thinking, he knows that's you in the sheep's outfit. So we have to beware of these kind of things. And there's a lot of false prophets out there. There's a lot of people out there. Here's one that I just recently heard. You don't have to dress up to go to church. You can go in any old way you want. You know what? I don't disagree with that. You can come to church however you want. Not my point to judge you. It ain't going to keep you at the door. But I countered his point this way. I said, God gave his ultimate, and he gave Jesus Christ. When we come to worship him on Sunday morning, if we can, wouldn't we want to bring our best at that moment? He said, well, okay, no shortcuts. No shortcuts. There is no shortcuts on the road to heaven. Beware of the false prophets. They come to you as wolves in sheep's clothing. The Bible says they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. I'll tell you how dumb I am. You'll never have to figure out what I've got to say, because it'll always be that way. And that's the way we should be. We shouldn't try to hide behind something. We shouldn't try to say, I don't want to do this. I'm going to find another way not to do what God has wanted me to do. It's funny that Aiden and Marjorie are here today. 100 ways I could have said, no, I couldn't do that. I can't drive. I don't feel comfortable. I don't have the right insurance. Instead, we got in the van. My objective, get him to the emergency room. The van's objective, let's see if we can break the sound barrier. And at one point, we were going out on 81 northbound. We were going 80 miles an hour. And Aiden can sit and look right at the speedometer. He didn't say a word. So I figured, let's just keep going and see how fast we can get him. We got him there, and we got him back. I could have figured out a shortcut. Not allowed to. My favorite shortcut statement. Tell me if you've heard this. Well, I have time to get right with God. Or, I'm a good person. God's going to love me anyway. Yeah, God does love you. He loves you enough to also discipline you. I've got time to figure this thing out. I don't need all that preaching and carrying on Sunday morning. No, you don't. You don't get saved in these four walls. You get sharpened. You get ready to go. You get to hear the things that set the seed in motion for you to accept Christ. I cry when I hear that. I've heard this statement a couple times now in the past month. We may be veering toward the end. We've been veering toward the end 2,000 years ago. But we need to be ready for it. There are no shortcuts on that path. There is no way for us to find another way into heaven. And I'm not talking about religions. I'm not talking about denominations. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm not saying that the Church of the Brethren is right and that the Methodists are right or who's right or the Catholic Church. I don't care about any of that. I don't care what it says on that sign out there. This could be the church of Sunday morning. This could be the church of the believers come to church on Sunday morning to hear a good message. That's all we need. Because you know what? There is only one way to heaven. That is through Jesus Christ on the path he has laid out. You have to believe in him. You have to do what he says. And when you're called, answer. Amen. That's it. When the Washington Monument was erected, there were steps to go up to the top. They put an elevator in, and in the early years of the elevator, they only allowed the men to ride the elevator to the top, and the women and children had to take the stairs. You know why? Because the men that developed the elevator said they were afraid it might not be too safe for the women. And so that's why only the men should ride on it. That shortcut lasted, I think, the first year of its operation. And I think some woman got wise to it. And pretty soon, that went away. In this world, brothers and sisters, especially now, you're going to see things, you're going to hear things, you're going to be told things that may sound like the truth. Check it. Make sure it's not the beginning of a shortcut. Make sure it's not something that would take you away from being focused on what's to come. Jesus Christ said, narrow is the way. The man in that movie said, the only way you're going to get that ball there, the only way you're going to get from here to there is stay on that straight way. I ask you, brothers and sisters, just think about that this week. On the path to excellence, there are no shortcuts. But watch out for the low bridges. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for reminding us of your love. You are love. God is love. And you love us enough to give us blessings and joy and merriment. And you love us enough to give us a good amount of discipline when we desperately always need it. And how do we answer that love? When we're called on, we answer. When it seems like work, it is. We don't want to look for the shortcut around it. We want to do it. And so remind us, Father, one way to heaven, one way to eternal reward, one way to salvation, through your Son only. Let us strengthen our hearts with that in this week to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing the last hymn, Room at the Cross, I invite you to come up if you need to leave your prayers behind on the bench, if you need strengthening, if you need prayer, if you need anything, if you need me, as we sing this last hymn.